I am Aphrodite, born from the sea. A queen, not a fish, can make you a king with just a kiss. A young Ares and his gaze, if I was smart, I'd be afraid. A naive lad with his friends, come again. You must have said bum a fag, who you trying to kid? Let's not pretend. All pent up, your anger displaced. A god of war, a god without grace. You're no god at all. Just a boy, what a shame. So much potential held back by your vein. Revenge, bittersweet. Knowing of the forever struggle while you weep. Dropping the soap really swept you off of your feet.
Welcome, everyone, to A Voyage Through Film. I'm Daniel. We got my boy, Mikey Mike.
What up?
Chup. And we got Anthony.
The queen's here. The queen's here.
Everyone celebrate the queen. And we got Joshy Baby.
Oh.
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 And then we have a very special guest with us today.
Oh, yes.
We got the one, the only, Leah.
Hey.
What up? We're going to be taking you through the highlights and the lowlights of Hollywood. And we are continuing on with our LGBTQIA plus month.
Nice.
With Joshy Baby's pick. If Femme. It's just Femme, but yeah, Femme.
Is that a bloke?
He's a big man in his high heels.
Fuck your faggots, man.
Remember messaging me later when you're looking for a dick to suck?
Hey, do you not know each other?
Oh, God. Turn around if you're fucking man.
Fuck off! Oh,
yeah, I know your type.
You want a big man to treat you like a little bitch?
Maybe. I'm a nice guy.
If you disrespect me, fuck you up.
I get that.
Yeah?
I'm the same.
Are you now?
Come on, then.
It just sounds French. I want to call it Le Femme.
Yeah.
But it's just Femme.
I thought it was going to be a French movie.
Yeah, right. I thought it was going to be a French movie, but yes. Femme, baby.
It's British instead.
Yeah.
Very British.
It's so British. It might be the most British movie ever made.
And the most gay.
And the most gay movie.
All wrapped
don't
in
fucking
one.
Touch me, bruv.
It's probably
just
one of the
up,
most. The best depiction of a homophobic man.
Definitely. This and American Beauty.
Yeah, about a like particular like closeted. What do you call that actually? Isn't there a term for that?
Internalized homophobia.
Yeah, there you go.
Where they're just like so gay, and then they get upset about it. But
yeah, and then
still...
it gets like projected outward.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
I feel like
it's a hell of a thing.
I feel like it's a good time to just say thank you for the intro, and we're so excited to have Leah here to be offering us a nice. Feminine perspective on Femme.
Yeah, finally. Yeah, we did need a feminine perspective.
A movie with no yeah, no with, women characters.
With absolutely no women
nice.
Characters. But yeah, I'm glad to be here to offer my feminine wisdom on this very gay male movie.
And also, Leah's a therapist and works with all types of peoples. And so personalities.
She's going to be psychoanalyzing all of us.
Watch out.
Yeah, she's just like, I've seen this so much.
Mm-hmm. No, but it's really fun to watch movies with Leah because we're always trying to like pick apart the psychology of the characters. And I feel like that's such a big part of like movies is like, you know, the psychology of it. And Leah is always just like bringing so much. Actual therapy knowledge, like, oh yeah, no, I've actually met this type of person before.
Nice.
And I feel like it's the perfect pick because yeah, it's such a psychological movie.
Yeah, for sure. I am always interested in the psychology behind things, so definitely if you have anything like that to sprinkle in about these characters, I'd be interested.
Oh yeah, this is a good one to dive into on the both of them.
So much to pick apart.
Mm-hmm.
Femme.
Them. But got a 93% on that tomato meter, certified fresh. Jeez. There.
Oh
wow! Yeah, nice. I mean, oh, yeah. I get it.
Deserved.
Yeah, 80% audience score.
It's fucking nice. Good. Yeah.
It's good.
No, seriously,
that's 7. A really 4? Good audience score.
Yeah, that is. Mm-hmm.
For 7.4 on IMDb.
Okay,
that's not too bad either.
That's really good too.
That's a solid score.
2 ticks above Dog Day Afternoon.
No way.
That's the baseline. That's the baseline.
I mean, damn. That's an interesting comparison, actually. Another really intense movie.
Yeah, another gay movie.
And another gay movie. That's true.
Have you seen Dog Day Afternoon?
I don't think so. What is it?
Dog Day Afternoon.
Al Pacino.
No.
Ooh, wow.
Doing like a hostage Heist. Situation.
No. He's gay and he's robbing a bank to try to pay for a sex change operation for his lover.
Wow. I think I should such a good see
premise.
This now.
It's such a good premise.
Yeah, I think
I this. Yeah. Does this sound familiar?
Attica! Attica!
Does this sound
not ringing a bell, but yeah, you know, I'm interested.
Oh, you know this one?
Got me on the hook.
Attica!
Watch it.
Yeah.
But, yeah. We got written and directed by Sam H. Freeman and Ng Chun Ping.
Nice.
Oh, it's such a dope movie. They needed 2 people to direct it. I really believe that. It's like
they must have been on like the same wavelength.
Yeah, I mean, written and directed.
It's always interesting, I feel like, when you see the duo directors, I feel like they're always good. There's never like a duo director, and it's like, well, that was kind of whatever. It's like,
and this is like the debut for both of them.
Yeah, like 2 sets of eyes on all aspects. Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. This is their first movie, both of them.
Yeah, isn't that dope? Wow, what a debut. Really?
That's crazy. Yeah, no, wow. I'll be keeping an eye out for sure.
I guess it's based on a short film that they did, like a short version of this. So that must have gotten some attention. And then I don't know how they got George McKay. I mean, the other guy too, the main guy, I guess we'll wait until Daniel gets into it, but
he's been, I mean, George McKay, what a fucking switch from 1970 to this. Holy shit.
Yes.
Big time. Yeah.
I feel like what a dope actor. Like he definitely wants to just take interesting roles.
Definitely.
Yeah. This like cemented him for me as like a, maybe like the best up and coming actor we have.
Yeah, but, like, right.
He definitely seemed he's like only done a few edgy things in this movie too. Like he fit the role.
Oh yeah,
very
he
well.
He was in The Beast. I want to see The Beast.
Yeah, me too. I was looking at that.
I want to see that too.
I look. So, I've heard it's like Mulholland Drive.
Really?
But like weirder.
Yeah, the trailer looked very trippy.
Weirder than Mulholland Drive.
Yeah, so that's what I said.
Wow.
Right. Oh, I'll be the judge. I'll be the judge of that.
Yeah, we'll okay.
But George McKay, I mean, of course, 1917. That wasn't he in? He was in something else after that, wasn't he?
He was in a few things. Nothing that I have heard of. So not helpful.
All right, we'll cut this.
Not helpful. Move on.
But, I wouldn't know which one to point out.
But please, then, yeah, we'll just go to the other main character, Nathan Stewart Jarrett as Jules, or Aphrodite.
That guy was great. I had not seen him before.
Yeah, no, he was awesome.
He killed
Did
it.
Did you see Candyman?
Oh, yeah.
Candyman?
The last Candyman?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
The remake? He's in that.
He's in Candyman.
Yeah.
He is. He's not Candyman.
Nice. I'll have to rewatch that.
It's his cheekbones.
I have it right over here.
Put it right just, here on the wall.
Mark just pointed
for the
it to
audio
vault.
Listeners.
Yeah.
Points to wall of movies.
Points. But then we got John McCrea as Toby. He was kind of annoying.
Oh, his roommate. Jules' roommate.
Right.
Yeah.
No, nice. Okay.
Yeah. Because I'm like,
I feel like
any
it's
other
like.
Besides right. Jules and.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I like it the is, Oz.
It's a two hander.
It's a two hander for sure. It's like a two-person play, almost. But I do feel like Toby and the roommates are key characters.
Mm-hmm.
And perfectly casted. Like, that just, they feel so real.
Yeah.
It's just so lived in. Like, you can imagine those roommates for sure.
Well, and with the guy that played Jules, like, I had wondered, like, is this, like, someone that does, like, drag that they got and, like, got him to be an actor and put him in the movie, or was this an actor?
Uh-huh.
Like, he's so convincing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As, like, a person that does drag.
I wonder. I know that he's just an actor.
It seemed pretty natural.
Sure. Yeah. It seemed pretty natural.
I don't know.
Yo, does this guy actually do this? Because
he's natural.
He's pretty.
Bro, if you're not in burlesque as a drag queen, you're really missing out.
It's so funny. We watched this. We just watched National Anthem, which is another gay movie that just came out. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys heard about that one.
No.
Also has some drag in it.
Yeah.
We also just went to a drag show.
Oh, wow.
At a bar here in San Francisco by SF Asia, by the Dolls. Mm-hmm.
So we're talking to some drag experts.
Yeah, we're immersed.
Yeah. Yeah. We're in. I'm bought in, so.
Yeah, that's true.
All drag, all day.
Nice. Yeah. I've only ever accidentally been to a drag thing, but it was still fun.
Was it a brunch? It's great.
Yeah. Hamburger Mary's.
Was it a brunch? Someone invited you to brunch?
Nah, it's like right across the street from like the Magic Arena, and they sell good hamburgers, so I went there.
Oh, yeah.
And they were doing a drag show.
Hell yeah.
They sell good burgers.
Yeah, dude, I'm there for the burgers, all right?
Okay.
Chill.
I'm just here for the burgers.
I know it was gay.
An accidental drag.
But I stuck around for the show.
I know I can eat outside. Doesn't matter.
They give you your check at the end in a high heel.
High
heel. Wow. Yeah. That's a drag show.
Now that's a drag show.
Yeah, Ron DeSantis recently shut it down.
Oh, that's right.
Oh.
That's because he couldn't fit his fat foot in it because he's not Cinderella.
take that, Ron.
But he wears high heels too.
Dumb bitch.
He hates Disney. That's why you're not Cinderella, idiot.
He wears high heel cowboy boots.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The lift cowboy boot combo.
Anyway, enough about Ron DeSantis.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what you guys are talking about anymore.
But I mean, I think that's all I got.
The governor of Florida.
Yeah, some Florida politician guy.
Sheesh.
But yeah, no, that's all I got. So
did someone do the cinematography for this movie, or it just
shot? I don't know. No one. No, they didn't actually.
I think the camera just moved around on its own.
Shot itself.
All the ghost. On.
Yeah. All right, fine.
All the lenses just magically appeared onto the
I
camera.
Guess. Just for you, Josh. We got James Rhodes as a cinematographer.
Nice. James. Yeah, well done.
Cinematography was great.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, really good.
Nice. I mean, intense. Like, long lens.
Are all the porns, like all the gay porns on that website? What was that website called?
Gay sex tube.
Was it like gay sex tube? Yeah.
Gay sex tube. Yeah. That wasn't a real website. I don't think. I didn't check.
I mean, you're
welcome. Yeah, you did.
You're welcome.
You opened with the definitive statement.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, but it's definitely not a real website.
But he was like, I gotta make all. I gotta like do the cinematography for all these fucking porn movies too. Uh-huh.
I wonder. Yeah, I would assume so.
They just shot so much porn.
I know. I always wonder with that when they do like YouTube clips. It's like, do they have to go shoot all those individually? I guess so.
Yeah.
Probably for the few that they like close in on, I would imagine they shot those.
Yeah.
But yeah.
The thumbnails.
I'm sure the DP.
Yeah, it's not gay. It's not gay if you look at it aggressively. Like if you watch gay sex tube aggressively,
true.
It's not gay.
Hmm. I don't know about that one.
I'm pretty sure. I think he's right.
Watch it aggressively.
All right. So now we know that Mark watches gay sex tube and Anthony watches it aggressively.
Just look mad. Look upset while you watch.
Yeah, I'm like,
yeah.
I'm glad this movie could have such a nice, big effect on you guys.
Yeah.
Thanks, dude. You're
it's welcome. A revelation for everybody.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm not sure what else James Rhodes shot, but great cinematography.
Yeah.
It's a lot of concerts, apparently.
Yeah, it has.
Okay, that makes sense.
A documentary kind of vibe to it, but it definitely does remind me, I guess, of like the Safdie brothers a little bit, and that just that kind of like really intense long lens, you know, handheld vibe. But it's good.
Yeah, I mean, Venture and a bunch of other guys like started making music videos, right? Like,
oh, for sure.
Yeah,
I mean, PTA still does music videos just for fun.
Yeah,
it's like.
And Scorsese.
Hello. Hello. Hello, Marty Scorsese.
Wait, he directed a music video?
He does it for like the Rolling Stones all the time. He just films their concerts, their shows.
Oh, okay.
He's done a bunch. Didn't he do Michael Jackson's Bad?
Oh, really?
I think so.
I'm bad.
Yeah, I think he definitely did a Michael Jackson tune.
I think he did. Think
John Landis did Thriller.
That's true.
So, can't beat that.
Can't beat that. Someday we'll do American Werewolf in London.
Ooh, I love that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the best movies ever. Mark just
I have a signed poster of that movie right there.
Oh, there we go.
Behind my chair.
It's there.
You can only see a little bit. You can only see the top half.
Yeah, no, trust me, it's there.
It's right behind Long Legs.
Show me your long legs.
All right, well, the first segment is like basically just the intro. Like the intro, the performance, the drag performance. You meet Jules, you meet Aphrodite, and then the attack in the convenience store when you meet George McKay. And you see George McKay in like the very beginning.
Yeah, the very beginning. Yeah, George McKay's checking out.
Like across the street.
Yep, from across the street.
Just lurking.
Yeah.
I didn't realize he was in it, and I saw him. I was like, I know that guy.
I know you.
I know, and he's so...
I saw you in World War I.
Yeah, you're a thousand yards there.
Yeah, very different. With the full neck tat.
The full neck tat.
Yeah.
Which is such a, like...
The tattoos are such a commitment.
Oh, it's so good. Such a defining feature.
Those are all real tattoos.
Yeah.
Are they? No.
No, not really.
Hey, George McKay can pull it off with that baby face, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It works. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The lip syncing on that on the drag performance was on point.
Oh yeah.
The opening.
So good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know the song was great.
Yeah, and really just introed Aphrodite with like so much power and like, you know, really feeling herself and, you know, yeah, I would
for
say
sure.
Definitely like powerful intro for that character.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I feel like, yeah, it's such a, it's cool watching it again because we've seen it twice now and you just see like, you almost forget by the end of the movie just how in control of his own life or her own life or their own life, whatever Jules kind of was, you know, before they get attacked and before we go on this whole journey with them. But in that opening, they're just so free. Free-flowing and just, like, yeah, very in control.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
having a great time, hanging with their friends.
She's top dog.
Yeah, like, it makes safe in their bodies. Like,
yeah. Smoking stokes, like, not a care in the world.
Ripping stokies outside.
Ripping stokies, ripping bogeys. Going to the store, like, you know.
Yeah.
Like, going to the store by yourself.
Alone at night.
Like, 2 a.m, probably.
Mm-hmm.
In, like...
In full drag.
I mean, but
in full drag.
They've probably done that 1,000 times, though. I never had any like big issues like that. But like all that getting to know the character so well, so fast, makes it so painful. That attack scene is so brutal.
Mm-hmm.
It is so brutal.
Yeah. So tense.
I was like cringing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I forgot how intense it was. Seeing it again, I feel like it's just as intense. And I just love, though, how Jules stands up for herself, like, or Aphrodite or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, immediately. And she's like, how you gonna be big next to your bruv when I caught you checking me out earlier?
Yeah.
And they're all like,
she definitely humiliated the shit out of him real quick.
Yeah.
To her own detriment, I would say she did stand up for herself, but at the same time, it was like, you did nail him, though. Like,
Yeah.
Like, you can't say shit like that and not expect. Like, I don't know. Those are fighting words.
That was like, brutal, the response. Yeah, like, but the retaliation was brutal. But the shaming was also pretty brutal. Like, right in front of all his straight friends. Yeah, like, I see you, buddy.
It's like, where was that guy's friends that when he was just standing across the street, like, eye fucking a bunch of drag queens?
He probably just snuck away.
Right.
Like, yeah, he always does. Away. And just,
or
like,
was meeting them or something.
Hold on, I've got to take a call. And then just, yeah, like, walk down to the drag club and he's just, like, looking at them and, like, trying to get a peek.
I know, because we find out later that, like, his friends just bully the fuck out of him.
Yeah.
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 And, I mean, maybe that's foreshadowing, like, him looking at a life that maybe he wants or he wants to be a part of, but he can't be. Or,
oh, totally.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's something, too, with Aphrodite being a man biologically, but dressing femme and, like, going to the store alone, like maybe that's something a man would do. Maybe calling out these people, that would be something a man would do. But yet she was like dressed in, you know, feminine attire, was dressed more femme, and then that made her a target.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, also,
I thought it was cool too that like she like takes off like part of her like costume and like just has like that chain mail where it is like fully exposed. Like it's like clearly like a man's body now, but it's like still like so feminine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the way like he kind of breaks down too, and he like cuts up her clothes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She, like, starts weeping. She retreats into the feminine, even though she stands up as like a masculine man. Then when it comes down to it, she retreats back down. You know.
Well, the whole thing was like, who's the big man now?
Right.
Right. Like as he was hitting her, it was like, who's the big man? Mm-hmm. And then they took off her clothes to like remove her femininity.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's so gutting. Like, what an intro. What a gutting intro.
And goes right there very fast. We don't linger very long on, like, the pre-attack life.
This is just, like, the first, like, 15 minutes, and it's super gripping. Yeah. I was definitely in.
Right.
I like how they pulled that off. The intro of the actual performance itself was cut short. Like, you only get a preview of it. And even the humiliating fight scene, or I guess beat up, is very short. It's like short-lived. They're not like showing everything, but you get what happened, especially when she gets up and you see all the bruises on the back and like the blood leaking out of the head. Like, you know, it was a lot more than what you saw on camera.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean,
when he smashes his head on the bricks, I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, that was gnarly.
Yeah, and it's just so tense. You're like right in there, and the camera is like shaky, and it just I feel like when we first watched it the first time, my heart rate was like beating. Like it just felt so real.
Yeah,
visceral.
Yeah,
for sure.
It's fucking intense. Like such so well staged by those filmmakers. Mm-hmm. Like it just feels so real.
So the next part, you know, it kind of cuts to, and it's what, 3 months later. You know, and we see Jules is playing video games and kind of retreating into himself, and the roommates are trying to kind of get him out, and he's kind of like, no. And then we see him go out to a gay bathhouse, which is a fun scene. And then while in the gay bathhouse, you know, you see some of the gay male bathhouse culture, and then you also see, guess who? George McKay's character, whose
our
name is
boy
Preston. Preston, our man Preston, getting a little homophobic. I think he says something like, "Call somebody a fag," and somebody goes, "We're all fags in here."
Yeah,
he, like, storms
he's
out.
Like, "We're all fags, you cunt."
Yeah. He storms out, and you know, Jules kind of clocks him and follows him to the locker room, and then there begins kind of this next chapter of this journey. So finding Jules' attacker at this gay bathhouse, going to his car, and then kind of begins this new relationship between the two of them in a new way that Preston's character doesn't exactly know what he's getting into.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That bathhouse scene, I just thought that was like some kind of sauna. I didn't even know. I didn't realize that was like a bathhouse. I'm not familiar with that. That was intense.
Better watch out.
There's just a guy like riding dick, like right when you get in there, and there's like a big screen of gay porn. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's like, oh man, we're like fully in it.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely.
I feel like it's funny too. Like, didn't you say when we were watching it, you were like, "That is such a dude thing." You know, yeah. Like, there wouldn't be, like, you know, like, a straight bathhouse that's so dangerous, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's, like, you got to be able to, like, stand up for yourself or, like, it's just such a dude thing, like, hey, you want to see my dick?
Yeah.
He said, I'm 9 inches and thick. Yeah, that one
guy
comes up to me,
like, German guy.
Yeah. He said, I'm 9 inches and thick. What's up?
Yeah.
He's like, not today, baby.
Yeah. He said, thank you, but no thank you.
Mm-hmm. Just there to watch.
Yeah.
George McKay just spits at that guy.
Yeah.
9 inches and thick pisses him off.
Get your hand off my fucking leg, fucking fag.
Mm-hmm. And storms out, which, like, you know, you're obviously in a very gay sauna.
you're in the gayest sauna.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
It's obviously a gay sauna.
I mean, at this point, it is like... It's just intense because he recognizes him and follows him.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, I don't know. You also, like, feel bad for this guy a little bit, like, that he's, like, so closeted, but so, like, sure that he's gay.
Keep your mouth shut.
Fam, where the fuck did you go?
I shit to sort out, innit?
You're a liability.
Nah, mate, just bored of your chat. You back at the flat?
Nah, I'm still out waiting for this geezer, innit? Don't know what the fuck he thinks he's playing at.
You need to change it up, man.
Trust me. You're probably gonna go junction afterwards if you fancy it.
Yeah, I'll see how I feel.
Aye, safe.
Yeah, it's definitely conflicting messages because he's so, like, you know, I don't know, anti or confronting or reactive, but yet he's there. So you're kind of like, which way do you want it? Like,
right.
Yeah,
there,
right.
Are you not? Yeah, it just feels very conflicting for this character. Kind of like, what's going on here?
Well, and that there's like a self-loathing, you know, like he hates that part of himself. Even if he can't help but do it, still when he's confronted with like fagness or whatever, like queer... In like a feminine sense too, because he's definitely not the feminine representation at all.
Yeah, he's like Willem Dafoe from Boondock Saints. So like not.
I mean, seeing what he did to Jules before, like, gave us the information that we needed to know about kind of where he's at with his, like, taking in his queerness. Like, it's obviously very projected outward towards others.
Repressed.
Yeah. Yeah. So then they go to the locker room. Jules follows, goes out to the car. They go back. And the whole time you're kind of like, what? Like, what is Jules thinking? Like, what?
Yeah. Like, why are you going into your attacker's car?
Yeah, it's kind of,
like,
scary.
I thought she was going to, like, you know, I was like, oh, is the movie only 30 minutes long? She's going to fucking kill him now? Like, what the hell?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, just dials
up. It could go, like, either way.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he's going to kill him.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
That would have been good.
Yeah, and I feel like Jules' character did a really good job of kind of being ambiguous, like, I'm going to do something, but I don't know what, kind of a thing. And it just really built the tension. And knowing how the movie started, at any moment, you're like, this could go down. Somebody's going to...
For sure.
Somebody's going to get the shit beaten out of them at some point.
And you're like, Jules, you fucking psycho. Like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But your first time, like, leaving the house, you just went playing Street Fighter for, like... A while.
Yeah.
You leave the house once and, like, stumble into this situation. Now you're just going to go, like, fuck this guy. Like, beat the fuck out of you. Not, like, that scarred you.
Yeah. And I think even Jules didn't maybe know exactly what they were going to do at that time. And I was saying it's a trauma response. Like, you know, there's something about reconnecting with abusers. There's something about, like, reliving your trauma that makes people feel safe or try to seek out safety.
Like Stockholm?
Yeah, maybe. Like... You know, something about, like, either redoing the traumatic situation and then, you know, fighting back for themselves or doing it differently or maybe believing that they can change the outcome of their traumatic situation.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, that's what I
felt. Take control of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's what I felt immediately. I'm like, that's a trauma response. Like, you're just seeking out your attacker. I mean, talk about, like, replicating a traumatic experience. You've literally found the person and you're going to replicate.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're going to do something even weirder.
Yeah. And I even think Jules didn't really know exactly where it was going to go. And then they get in the car and they go back to his place. And I think at one point, Jules looked around and saw like a baseball bat. Like, I think they were kind of like, ready for this to go south if it's going to go there.
Right, because then it goes to that part.
If you
talk about that.
Yeah, so then it goes back to Preston's house. You know, they kind of start to hook up, and then boom, in comes the roommates. And the whole time he's already kind of like, you know, don't walk in at the same time as me, or, you know, kind of sketchy about them walking into the building together. And then the roommates come home and he freaks out. He's up, he's dressed. He's like, you stay in here. And then suddenly Jules is kind of thrown into this other situation. So now there's other people involved, and, you know, Jules doesn't know who these people are and what they're capable of by any means. And then how it turns out is that Jules comes out kind of dressed in Preston's clothes, dressed more masculine, you know, comes out and says, I'm here to pick up drugs, plays it cool, kind of covers for him with his friends, and it passes. His friends believe it. They don't question it. They're, you know, there's nothing more to it.
And you learn
they were in jail together, or he was in jail.
Yeah. He said that they were in jail together. Yeah,
that's a good one. In the sweater that he was wearing when he attacked him, which becomes an important sweater later on as well.
But there's something that happens here with Preston's like fear and repression, but then Jules's kind of confidence of like, you know, we can do this and we can pass. This is fine. That kind of allows Preston to feel safer, which then initiates maybe a next meeting.
And Jules's ability to get out of the femme and go into the masculine identity so seamlessly. Yeah. Whereas Preston is so stuck in one, you know, kind of thing. You know, Jules's ability to kind of like switch back and forth is like so shocking to Preston. And it's such a like revelation that like propels the whole movie forward. And like Jules's kind of duality and how he just morphs back and forth between them. Because Preston can't do that.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of a turn on for Preston. He's like, oh shit, why you acting all straight, bruv? Why you acting like that, isn't it? That was pretty dangerous.
I kind of like that, yeah.
Yeah,
which maybe gets to the root of Preston's like attraction to the masculine. But yet he, you know, kind of puffs his chest as a super masculine guy. And, you know, what is that? What's behind that? And so good. But yeah, that kind of, I think catalyzes their relationship, was that moment.
Yeah. I like the way that they like handle the suspense in this movie, like at this part, like when they're getting into it, and then like all of a sudden you just hear all the people like flood into his apartment. It's like super fast. Like the suspense is just bam. I was fucking scared for him. I was like, if he gets caught, then like I feel like all these guys are just going to beat the shit out of him again. Yeah. And then he just goes out there. I was so nervous for this guy.
Oh yeah. They build the suspense so well. And that, like at any moment, anyone could get beaten up as well. Like leaves the tension definitely up there.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Preston's reminding Jules the entire movie, basically, like, hey, you don't listen to me, you're going to get fucked up. Like, pretty much the whole time, he's telling him, like, I'm going to fuck you up. And it's the craziest part, which is my revelation here is I don't believe, in my mind, for some reason, the way it played out, I don't think Preston has gotten this far with a man outside of prison to where he's able to have sex with a man. Like, it just something about it. Like, I don't know how many men would follow this like mysterious dude that is very fucking aggressive and cold. I don't know. It just felt like maybe one of his first encounters.
It didn't feel like the first time for me. I definitely think it was like the furthest he had gotten in a relationship like throughout the movie.
Yeah.
Maybe he had gotten to this point, like the initial part, but anything beyond this, I think is brand new.
I think usually he's able to just go to the other guy's house and have a quick fuck and that's it.
Right.
Oh, true. Because he said you have a free space.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, I think it's a good point because, yeah, I definitely think he's done this before, but he's never been emotionally involved. I mean, he's not there yet where we're at. But.
Yeah. And like there's trust being built in that Jules can come out as mask and be like, oh, I'm just picking up in it. And, you know, move through. And there's some trust established between them of like, Jules is saying, I see your secret. Like, I got you. which maybe Preston has not experienced before.
And the way his friends clown him and the way it's just like background audio, like the way that it's the scenes are done and edited is so tense, right? Where they're just like, oh, well, he's got a girl back there. What's going on? Who is that? Who is that, Preston?
Yeah, I hear someone creeping.
That was what he said. And then he comes out and he's like, just picking up, isn't it?
It's just and he's like, oh, yeah, just pick. You know, he gets all his shit from me. You know that.
The one roommate was like, oh, is he back there just stealing from me?
They're
stealing from me.
That guy was fucking just evil.
That roommate.
I was scared of that guy.
My boy.
He ends up being like pretty cool, honestly. I don't know.
He ends up being kind of.
He ends up revealing actually really that shines he's a piece through
later on.
But yeah, let's finish off part two.
Yeah, so then after that, the night ends, Jules goes home, and then that's when Jules starts kind of planning and scheming, what am I going to do with this kind of newfound relationship? He starts to look up the revenge porn, the gaytubesex.com, and starting to look up kind of ways that he could maybe use this relationship to get revenge or to, you know, benefit him in some way.
Yep.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
This is where you said the gay sex tube.
Mm-hmm. I thought he was gonna like start a gay sex tube channel and just like, all right, I'm gonna blow it up, and then just he was like just trying to get famous off of gay sex tube or something. I thought it was gonna take a way different turn.
Like he was gonna start like vlogging on gay sex tube, be like, I got this straight guy I'm about to expose. You guys keep tabs.
He like showed
follow
he was like, oh, 3.1 million views. I could do that.
That was shocking. I remember seeing that number and was like, wow.
Yeah, how did that make you feel, Anthony?
It was shocking how many views like revealing someone being a closeted homosexual would get on a gay sex tube.
I wonder,
And was that?
I mean, it might be a kink. I don't know. That might be like somebody's.
Is that a thing that Jules is into?
No, I think it was.
Or was he just interested in doing it? And that's why he was
looking for revenge.
Planning and seeing what's out there and seeing what they can do. Because I think now Jules has made the connection that Preston is closeted and this could be a way and is hiding it from the people in his life and that this could be kind of the ultimate revenge.
Exactly.
But none of those people are ever going to see it, though.
Yeah, that's.
We don't know that.
Still, it doesn't matter.
We don't know if they're on gay sex tube.
Yeah, I guess as long as like 3 million people see it, it doesn't matter who.
Yeah.
If that gets out, exactly. And that's when the movie. Well, it gives Jules something to work towards, which is now a revenge plot.
Mm-hmm. And now we know what Jules.
And now we know what Jules. Why kind of going essentially for. Are they in this relationship?
So then from there, once
Jules is good at passing it off as not that, though.
Jules. Right.
He's good at like acting like he's actually interested or like, I don't know. I fell for it at least. I don't know. At some point, he actually seemed like he was just interested in just a relationship.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's very complicated.
I know. We can break that down.
Yeah. So then from there, it kind of moves into their date, their first date. You know, they go out to this restaurant. Mm. Preston says, don't dress faggy. So they're kind of these two bruvs out at dinner. It's kind of their first date. Preston orders for them. Preston pays for them.
Such a good scene.
Mm-hmm.
My boy knows how to eat.
The bone marrow.
See a different side of Preston.
A boy's culture.
It is a different side of Preston.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
And then when he was ordering the wine, I thought he might get champagne, which is funny because like you guys all call me and like my whole family and everyone I know, they call me Champagne usually. Or Champ for short.
Champ for short.
They call you.
Yeah, that's because you're the champagne of all marks, Mark.
Yeah, I love popping you
that's
too.
That's true, we do.
We love popping.
I forgot that. We usually call you Champagne.
Well, yeah, we've never mentioned that. Doing the pod for a while, so you might have forgot.
Well, yeah, I know, but I guess we've never really addressed it. But you know, whenever we're off the pod, it's like, hey, Champagne, what's going on? Like, what do you?
No, not that Champagne. You can put that glass back. I'm talking to Mark.
I'm talking to Mark.
Yeah, yeah. I'm talking to Mark. Champ. Your dad always calls you champ, but I didn't.
Yeah,
champ.
Yeah, exactly. My dad always called me champ.
And
yeah.
I didn't realize. I was like, that's
for champagne?
Yeah, I was like, that's cute that he always calls me champ. He's very.
When I was a little kid, I chugged a bottle of champagne.
Exactly.
I thought it was grape juice.
That's what Mark's dad told me. He's like, oh, no, it's not just champ. That's it's champagne.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not short for champion.
Easy there, champ.
Yeah, it's not.
Not sure for champion. Yeah. It's champagne.
But I just thought that was funny. But I thought it might have been champagne that he was drinking, but it wasn't. And my name's champagne, kind of.
Is that what you think when anyone orders wine in general? You're just like, huh, champagne? They should be drinking champagne.
Yeah, exactly. I turned my head. Yeah.
They should be.
I just want to point out that Jules ordered the house wine. So a little reveal of the character there.
Yeah. I also feel like polite. Jules
doesn't want to run up the bill.
Yeah, but then the waitress suggested another one, and Preston ordered for Jules.
How much do you think the bill was? Because he puts down like $700 or $800.
$400 or $500.
Yeah, pounds. So he tips like 100%.
It was a couple hundred pounds.
And it's quid.
Yeah, definitely some pounds.
Is it quid? I thought it was pounds.
Quid is
yeah, I don't know what
right?
them tea drinking bills are.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The hell are
they? They don't tip there, but maybe he did.
No, it's a lot. Well, like when he's throwing
his
down
last
the cash.
Bill.
Yeah,
like,
no, the last one he was like, "This one's for you, love." Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Ah, no, you're tight."
Yep.
You want a big man to tell you what a little
you
bitch you
dog.
Are?
Yeah.
Well, I'll fill your bingo card up. That's right. Like, damn, okay.
Yeah.
Is that what you want?
Done time, hug it.
Do I make you horny, baby? Do I?
I mean, it was around this time that I'm like, is he actually just falling for Preston? Or
right.
But he keeps looking up, like, how to expose him, and he tries to get the video.
I mean, because as a viewer, you're kind of like, this is kind of fun. Like,
yeah, right?
Yeah, right? Guy. Yeah, these Preston's, guys seem like a good couple.
Yeah, Preston's kind of
fun. I can just watch
in the back of your head all is, day. There's no way they become a couple, because how can you can't get past that trauma. Like, there's no way.
Or I was wondering, like, if he just brings it up to him, like, hey, do you remember that, like, you beat the shit out of me? Like, can we get past it? But...
No way.
Hey, how'd you guys meet? Well,
funny story.
Funny story. He homophobically attacked me, and then I tried to do a revenge porn, and then we fell in love.
Happily ever after. Yeah.
You never know what happens when you want to buy a pack of cigarettes.
Yeah.
Could meet the person of your life.
I'm never convinced Jules is... throughout this whole movie, I'm never convinced Jules is developing any kind of deep emotional connection. I think it's just more of that certain, like, because when Jules first saw him in the very beginning, thought he was hot, right? Like, it's very apparent, thought he was very cute, thought he was hot. I think that's always there, like, that attraction. But I never feel at any point there's any, like, deep emotional connection. I just feel like it's more surface and a lot of confusion, just mainly confusion.
Yeah, I guess he's just kind of stoic a lot of the time, which just works to his advantage.
He's hard to read.
I know. I'm like, I think the dinner was flirty and like kind of trying to get him to open up. Like, you know, if Jules has on the mind revenge porn, then he's just trying to get one place and one place only.
Mm-hmm. That's true. But it is. I mean, I feel like that's the whole kind of interesting thing about the dynamic between them, where you're just kind of like. But is it though? Mm-hmm. But is he kind of like a little bit, like falling for him a little bit, or enjoying it?
I think
a little
likes
bit.
Him and a little bit.
But is that a trauma response?
Right. Yeah. Is that like fawning?
Is that straight up PTSD? You're seeking out your abuser. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, is he doing it, and is that good? Probably not.
It's
probably not. Probably maybe. Healthy for your mental.
Probably
well-being.
Maybe.
A little bit, I guess, in the sense of you're gaining control of the situation where you didn't have control before.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, and in this part of the movie, I mean, Preston's the one grabbing for control.
Yeah.
You know, he's saying, I know your type, like, you just want a big man to make you a little bitch. And it's Preston's way of trying to gain control. But the audience knows that Jules actually maybe has a little bit more control behind the scenes yep. of this.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we know something that the character mm-hmm. doesn't know.
Mm-hmm. But yet Preston, you know, that's his like masculine front is this control.
Preston don't know shit.
No.
Preston don't know shit.
And then from the restaurant, they go out to the woods.
Yes.
So. Weird. Uh-oh. So weird.
Yeah. The, stuff. Another a probable almost murder scene.
Yeah, for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah. The whole time you're like, is this it? Is this going to be the end of
it's,
Jules?
It looks like it's
is it over?
Murdered.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely tense. It definitely makes you question where this movie is going. But yeah. at that point, they'd build enough of a rapport. I mean, I feel like Preston's starting to trust Jules in some way, like letting Jules in a little bit. And we know what Jules is there for.
But Preston just lays down the dominance again and just mm-hmm. leaves him in the woods.
Leaves him in the woods.
After fucking
yeah, that was crazy. I was like, is he just, oh, he must just be turning the car around and then getting closer to him so he doesn't have to walk as far.
Nope. Yeah,
what a move.
It's the male dominance. Yeah, it's the control, the power move.
I mean, talk about like psychosexual like power plays, you know? Like you just wine and dined and then you fucked him in the woods and left him there.
Left him.
That's
do they never really use lube either? That's crazy.
There's a lot of spit.
Yeah.
A lot of spit.
Mm.
But going off of kind of what Anthony was saying earlier about, like, has Preston ever even gone this far with a man before? Like, right. there's this power play of, like, I'm going to leave you before you even have a chance to leave me.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly. And I think
that was a pretty bold move, though, huh? Leaving him in the fucking parking lot of a park in the middle of the night? That's pretty crazy.
Jules seemed kind of okay with it.
I mean, Jules got home. I'm sure probably didn't enjoy.
Well, I feel like that was... No, definitely not. But I feel like that was part of their like sex game. You know, that was part of the you want a big man to treat you like a little bitch.
Yeah.
You know, like that line says it all. It's like you want me to do this.
Yeah. And then Jules comes back. So then what happens next is Jules sends the picture of him in the sweatshirt.
Great,
you know,
picture.
Sexy pic. Oh,
yeah. My God.
Big
yeah, it was actually a great picture.
I say goddamn.
I looked at Deanna and we both agreed. I was like, you know, this is super gay of me to say, but that was a really good picture. And she was like, definitely was a great picture.
If great I'm pressed ass. And I'm texting back, I'm like, who took that picture?
yeah, right. Oi, who took that?
Glutton for punishment, isn't it?
I know you can't reach up that high above your rump.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that baits Preston back in, and I feel like that gives Preston the, like, green light, you know? Yeah. Like, let's keep this going, because, I mean, who in their right mind would want to continue with someone who left them in the woods in the middle of the night? But Jules, obviously. Which leads, I think, to, like, their continued sexual encounters.
And which leads to the scene.
Yeah.
In the parking lot, parking garage, like an abandoned area.
Somewhere, and they're in the car, and that's when Jules finally pulls out his phone and decides to try to do the revenge porn, in which Preston sees
it. That doesn't go well,
and starts to freak the fuck out.
Oh, Preston freaks the fuck
out. When does he like throw his phone?
Starts freaking out, gets very reactionary, gets very like pumped up, you know what I mean? Jules even kind of goes in the same position that they were in when that attack happened, because this is, I mean, the closest that Preston has come to being that aggressive this whole time.
That
pointedly aggressive.
I mean, like, recording someone having sex with you without their knowledge of it is, like, reason for that person to get really upset, to be honest.
Yeah.
Considering Preston handled it pretty well for his character. And his temper.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
He was even like, I'll get you a better phone. Upgrade.
Yeah, exactly. I'll upgrade you. No, it's on me. It's on
much
me.
Much cheaper.
Yeah. Well, and I think that there had to have been trust laid in that relationship for them to be, like, for him to be able to get really aggressive and then be able to come down, and then which then led to them having, like, passionate and intimate sex. Which, like, changed the dynamic in their relationship. And, I mean... trusting, like, Preston maybe has never trusted someone before. Maybe he's never been intimate with someone before like this. Like, big deal.
I feel like that's a huge turning point in their relationship. I mean, where they even have like slower sex, and it's like it's pretty literally, you know, shown, but definitely that's like Preston like becoming okay with like letting his guard down in front of Jules after
and he's actually like, looking in Jules' like eyes.
Tipping point. Yeah.
Yeah, they kiss.
And like kissing.
And
yeah.
they kiss. Yeah, that is their first like weird kiss.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's like, slow, baby, slow.
Yeah.
This is Preston where I wanted to go Jules fast. Was maybe developing some type of feeling. Here was right here because she initiated the slow, go slow or look at me, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
That's where it happened. I was trying to like.
Yeah. Well, she even said, she was like, that was really nice. Well, at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said, really?
And then that's when Preston was like, all right. See you next week.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's complicated. I think Jules knows the path to getting what he wants. Like, this video is like continuing to build trust with Preston and getting Preston to tear the walls down.
It's such a fucking good scene by George McKay. He's like, I don't want my face on nothing.
I don't
know you like that. I don't know what you're about.
It's like, don't know you like that. You guys have been fucking for a minute.
Yeah. I think a real turning point in the story, like the power dynamics start to change.
So good.
Yeah.
But yeah, then we can close this out with the third part here. And basically, he reconnects with his roommates. And I can just kind of run us through these and then we can go back. But he reconnects with his roommates. They get drunk. Then he goes to fuck Preston again. A repeat happens with the roommates. Jules dominates at Street Fighter. with Chun-Li.
What the fuck?
Everyone's ass.
Kicks everyone's ass.
I said, who is your guy's Street Fighter character? Do you guys have one? Do you guys play Street Fighter ever?
Probably Blanca.
I haven't played it since...
Blanca or Dawson?
The guy with the karate headband. I forgot his name.
Oh, that's just like Ryu?
Yeah, Ryu.
Yeah, I play
Blanca. Yeah, I like Blanca too.
Is that the Indian Blanca. Yoga guy that can stretch really far?
Yeah, Dawson. Isn't that his name?
Dawson's great.
I love that guy. The stretchy arms.
Yeah.
But he fucks everyone up with Chun-Li, and it's such a wonderful scene. Everyone's like, you don't let this girl be, you just got beat by a girl, mate.
You can't keep doing the same move, bruv.
He did keep doing the same
classic.
Power move.
Yeah, he just kept doing the fucking kicks.
Classic fighting so game banter.
It's really good.
Yeah, I'm having a great time.
And I mean, it's just like, it's that this is like the biggest turning point because this goes into the club scene.
Yep.
Which this great is scene. Where everything turns for. This is where the dynamic turns.
Fully.
Yeah. Jules is loving all this. And, he's like fitting in with his friends so well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, he's like reaching down and like jerking off Preston under the table.
Yeah, that's so good.
Well, this is where you get to see Aphrodite
power dynamic
come back.
Change. Mm.
Yes.
Before Aphrodite actually comes back, it's Jules. The form coming back. Yep.
Yep.
Taking power.
Power dynamic change. Mm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And flips the table on him.
Even says the same words.
You
want me to treat
you like a little bitch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Takes him back.
Maybe.
Films him. does the revenge porn, like films it.
With consent, basically.
Yeah, he loves it. Yeah, he's into it.
Gets him to consent to it. Does a full filming.
Mm-hmm.
Gets his trust.
Yep.
Gets his
trust built. Surrender happens. I mean, Preston's never trusted anyone, never been a little bitch before because he's never been able to surrender.
Yeah, I thought we were going to get like a blowjob scene.
There was one in the car earlier in the movie.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
He's standing over him and like unzipping his pants and he's like, I'm going to dominate you. I thought that was what was going to happen. He's just going to do that and record it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like
you don't think it's so upset about it, Mark.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of disappointed.
I thought we were going to get a blowjob scene.
I was ready. What gives?
What gives? Thank you.
Bring it back. I thought we were getting a blowjob. What gives?
What? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you realize that Preston, you know, he wanted to be treated like a little bitch this whole time. Mm-hmm. That's why he's been doing it. I mean, that's classic, right? He's projecting what he wants to be. And then we get the big performance. I mean, we get the morning after scene as well, yep. where they have breakfast, talks to the roommates. The jealous roommate sets it up, invites him to the birthday without telling Jules, knowing that it
would be... tragic.
Yeah. Not realizing, I don't think, the exact implications of that, but knowing not that it would be weird.
I don't think he's clued in at all on that whole situation.
Yeah.
He doesn't know like what's happening behind the scenes.
Yeah, it seems like Jules is pretty vague with the roommates about what was happening. Just that I'm with a straight guy.
But I do like that at least pays off with that character, because they're setting up that like triangle with him and he's like all jealous and stuff and you're just kind of annoyed a little bit.
Yeah.
Right? But then when that pays off with him setting Preston up in the end, it's like, oh yeah, of course. It's such an unexpected. Nice. And he's still annoying. He makes a dress out of the hoodie.
That
was, again, brought back the symbol of his, you know, trauma, which he's now transformed into art and does a performance. Preston shows up. It's so awkward. You're just waiting for him to blow up.
It's so tense. Yeah.
And he brings a gift, too. Club. He's so sweet.
He's, like, totally out of, you know, doesn't fit in. Yeah, no. It's so weird.
It was kind of heartbreaking.
It is pretty heartbreaking to see him there. And when he's like, oh, yeah, remember that guy who gay bashed me? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I got a joke for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't show the movie, though.
Yeah. I love that part because it's kind of like Preston's view of it. And it's kind of like the sound goes out and he's like, whoa. You know, so we don't even really hear the whole performance, but we just see Preston reacting to the performance.
That's a really good, actually, perspective shift. Mm-hmm. I think for the first time in the movie where the whole thing is on Jules' shoulders.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, you're always from Jules' perspective, everything. But then it switches to Preston's perspective there in that scene. And it's really key that it does, so that you really feel
it. Turns into like the Saving Private Ryan, like Normandy scene.
Yeah.
When the guy's looking for his leg.
Exactly. I love that movie trope when, like, just like.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like. He blocks everything out. He's just like, yeah.
Can't hear.
Goes backstage, waits for him.
Goes backstage. Yeah. Insane confrontation. Gets into a fight. I mean, so it's tense. What we've been waiting to happen the entire movie.
Yeah, the buildup.
And it's, you know, it's pretty, I mean, insane. But it feels good that it's at least finally happening.
Yeah.
I think
because
we've all
been waiting for this the whole time. The like, whole we knew movie. This was going to happen.
You're like, these guys just got to wrestle.
These guys.
And there's no like reasoning with Preston. Like, once it's at that level, it's like, this is going to be a fight.
Oh, yeah.
Like a fist fight.
Yeah. I mean, there's no talking. There's no.
That's the thing with Preston, isn't it? You got to bring him all the way to the edge.
Yeah, that's what he said.
And then just give him a little nudge and walk away.
Yeah.
He's like a pit
bull. Up the wall.
Pit bull been dropped on his head too many times. I don't know. It's fucking fun though, isn't it?
It's yeah, listen.
Preston breaks a bottle and he's like, oh fucking gotcha.
Was serious too.
Yeah.
That wasn't an empty threat.
Yeah.
Yeah. And had asked, like, what'd you do with the video? What'd you do with the video? And Jules is like, I didn't do it. And at one point, Jules is like, I felt bad for you.
I felt bad for you. He said, why? Yeah. Why didn't you show anybody?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That part, too. Jules was, like, about to post it, or she was on Gay Sex Tube and, like, going to post it, but then didn't.
Yeah, he's like, I felt bad.
He's like, you felt bad for me.
That's the worst thing you could have said to Preston.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You felt pity on me.
And he starts choking out Jules, and you think maybe he's going to kill him.
I thought he died.
Yeah.
I thought Jules was dead for sure for like a second there. Because you could hear like the throat, like something cracking almost. Like it was like
a very tight grip. Intense.
intense.
I was for like, sure. Oh no, yeah. This is how it's gonna end. No, don't end like that. Don't end like that.
I was left crying. Like wondering like who is like the real bad guy in this, because it's like there's like Preston. That random act of violence from Preston early, like with a group of people. But then there's like this whole like manipulative like ruse that Jules puts him through, and like basically gets this guy to like fall in love just to like crush him.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what's interesting is that the roommate caused this bubble up because it appeared that Jules was done after he left the house in the morning. He didn't text him back at all. And it seemed like he closed the chapter, came back as Aphrodite. Like, it looks like that chapter was over. The revenge was knowing that he took control of the situation, and that was it. It looked like it was over right there. And then the roommate caused, like, this, because it became public, right? Now it's public. So it went further than you thought it would.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, that was one thing that Jules was not counting on, was the roommate inviting Preston, or is Preston showing up to that party? You know, that was the one thing that was out of Jules's control finally in the end. And I do think it's kind of brilliant because you are left wondering, like, who's crazier in this fucking movie?
Mm-hmm. Like, who's right here? Like, no one.
Yeah. Well, and you start the movie feeling really bad for Jules. You're like, yeah, Jules. And then by the end, you like kind of feel really bad for Preston. And
this movie is crazy too.
Yeah. It's just really complicated. And it's people's complicated, you know, desires, motivations, wants, needs, like power. It's really all just a giant quest for power.
And just how one thing, just the cause and effect kind of whole nature of it, you know, how one thing just leads to it, to the other, leads to the other, and it snowballs. Because it is. I mean, it's so complex. Like, it doesn't really come down to, like, who's right and who's wrong. It's, like, it's such a gray area. And they're just such two sides of the same coin. I mean, we didn't even touch on, really. I mean, them being stark, pale white, and then dark black dude. Definitely just purposeful. You know, like,
yeah, supposed to, I thought that like, was all interesting, too.
This, like, yin and yang and, like, relationship and how they like switch around and
I mean, Preston's repressed and you know, kind of turned inward and very reactionary. Jules is powerful in his gayness and like very open about who he is,
full blown.
Yeah
So good. But yeah, and then that's how that ends, I think. Yeah.
Well, he gets the sweater, the real real name brand version of the sweater. He was traumatically beaten too. With, and that he already cut up.
This made me more sad.
But then I thought it was a great memento because it's like, hey, you can't, like, this trauma, like, you tried to rip up the jacket, you come back, you shit on him, like, while he's not there, you try to get over this trauma, but this trauma will always be a part of your life, and it's something you can't escape, and he hugs it at the end, and I thought that was a really good representation of, yes, he got his power back. Yeah, he still got the shit beat out of him, but that trauma will live with him, and he can maybe move on in his life.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I think
well
it
said,
is.
Anthony.
Yeah.
I think for
transformative
for both of them, they've gone through it and hopefully changed. You know.
I don't know. I think Preston's gonna struggle.
Nah, yeah, Preston's even more mad.
I think Preston's gonna.
Are you kidding me?
No, but Preston. Preston,
he tears. He starts crying.
Oh yeah,
he starts. He's bawling in the end.
But there was a change in Preston. Yeah, there's a change in Preston.
And for the next like year, he's like on a gay sex tube, checking every day to make sure that that video's not there.
Yeah.
There's got to be a follow-up.
Just aggressively checking gay sex too.
What did you do with that video?
I'll fucking kill you.
Yeah. But there was such a change in Preston when he was having breakfast with Jules's roommates.
Yeah.
Where he was like, I'm a fashion designer. And I'm like, it just felt like this like new air of ease that Preston could exist in, where he could just be himself and be authentic. And then he went to the gay club and, you know, it felt like you could maybe see him thinking like, could I see myself here? Is this a place that I belong? Mm. Like, you know, I felt like there was this shift in Preston of like, is this authentic? Mm. Is, you know, is this my life? And maybe getting a taste of that, maybe that has a lasting impact. I don't know.
Hopefully.
I would like to hope so. I don't know if it's like overnight. Like he's like, all right, I'm cool. I'm ditching those friends and I'm gay now. I'm out. Yeah. I'm hitting the club.
He did have a revelation that his friends were assholes. He texted Jules and said, my housemates are jokes.
Yeah.
So it's he does have that revelation a bit.
For sure. I feel like, I feel like both of them transform.
Yeah. I mean, because the roommates are it seems like the main reason why Preston can't be authentic. Like, it seems like those are his primary attachments. Those are like his closest friends, and that they wouldn't accept him if he was gay.
Definitely a representation of that part of his life, I feel like, which we never really fully get into where Preston came from. What was his childhood like? What made him the way he is? Which I feel like is better. Like, we don't really need to know that maybe he was abused as a child, or maybe in prison something happened, or something.
That's the assumption.
We can kind of assume it's some variation of all those things, but at the same time, it could be none of those things. It could just be that he's just a gay gangster dude. He's a victim of his circumstance sort of thing. Like, he was never allowed to be gay in any of his circles around his family or his friends or his upbringing.
So I climb backwards up to the crow's nest. I'm going back. I'm looking out into the waters, but I'm climbing up there. And when I get there, I see with my telescope. Yeah. So when I put the telescope up to my eye, I see the dinner when he orders the champagne. And I got nostalgic thinking about my own life. I was like, I thought of my dad and I thought of you guys.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And then the bone marrow. I don't know. I really liked him scooping out the bone marrow. I don't know. I liked all their genuine conversation finally after all the silence and secret kind of relationship. So I liked them cracking into the relationship at the dinner.
I know. I'm just trying to work out what the vibe is here.
What do you mean?
I'm not imagining double dates with your friends anytime soon.
You're funny.
You keep this side of your life completely separate.
I'm a private person. I don't like people getting in my business.
Such
nice. I like that one too.
It's such a good turn. I mean, the movie's full of turning points, but that one is just so unexpected where you're like, oh, we're in a lovely rom-com for five minutes?
Yeah.
What is this?
Yeah.
It's a really sweet.
Yeah, I got to leave all my worries behind for a moment.
Yeah, you can breathe for 4 seconds. Well, just showing the humanity of Preston, I think.
Well, I climb forward up these stairs, not backwards, up to the captain's cabin. And I look through that keyhole, and you know what I see?
What do you see?
I see all that booty.
Mm.
Shimmering in the light, in the candlelight. And what I truly see is my boy Jules whooping everyone's ass with Chun-Li like it ain't no thing.
Yes.
But it was just so nice because you finally saw everyone just chilling. Them being gay, isn't in the equation, kind of. And, Preston's into it. He's like, oh, I'm actually having fun.
Yeah.
And, it's the life he could have had if he just weren't so hung up on being gay, dude.
Nice. I was, scared for a moment in that when, what was it? I don't know. Whoever, his roommate is, got the controller at the end, was, the big boss.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And he's beating him, and he seemed, genuinely upset. I was like, is he about to just start beating the fuck out of Jules for beating him in Street Fighter now?
I know, and he's being sarcastic. He's like, oh no, you're gonna beat me. Oh no, oh my god, oh my god, oh no, what happened?
It's ribbing him.
Yeah.
Trying to console him.
Embarrassing him.
Can't help it.
Ah, well, that's a perfect segue. Every film is a voyage. Every voyage has its peak, if you will. traditionally speaking, the captain gathers up everyone in the cabin, everyone on the boat.
And
oh, we're all there now?
Everyone's there.
Oh, shit.
And true to form for Femme, the captain sucks off every person in the on the ship.
Ship. Wow. Flip through a captain's blowjob.
Yeah, I like these, yep. This captain's blowjob.
Yeah.
Well, finally.
Captain's doing some work. Some payoff.
Captain's doing a lot of work.
Captain's finally giving. And,
yeah, every once in a while you get one, boys.
What happens is there's a kind of collective vision that emanates out of the minds of everyone getting sucked off by the captain, and they see the best part of Femme. That scene has to be...
I love this.
I think the same scene for me. I mean, that's just the best. It's such a good tension. And,
the Street Fighter scene?
Well, the Street Fighter scene, and I think it goes into the club scene for me.
Yeah, okay.
I think that's one big kind of like set piece there. I guess it's like a back-to-back set piece, but like that whole kind of tension build of like him then like beating everyone at Street Fighter. Then they like go out. Preston doesn't want to. He's like, no, we can get out of here. Like, you're crazy, mate. And he's like, no, I think I'll go out to the club with your mate.
I can't wait to beat your guys' ass in Super Smash sometime.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. Sometime. You know how much we used to game play that watch. Movie? Or that game?
Yeah, so as the first mate, I walk out on the deck, and I'm looking around, and we finally made it to the end of our voyage, and the captain brings out the treasure chest of all the bounty that we have found upon this journey, and opens it up, and inside is all the glittering gold and rubies and jewels, and it goes into my eyes, and then my eyes start to see the scene of Jules performing as Aphrodite in the end.
Oh.
Of this full circle, like from the beginning to the end, that's like good. Reclaiming power, reclaiming the stage, reclaiming part of her identity, and just, the reclamation is powerful.
Ah,
yeah, for sure.
Such a good scene.
Yeah, full circle.
Mm-hmm.
With the hoodie flowing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't, I caught the hoodie like at the end of it. I that was a nice touch.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
Wearing the hoodie of the abuser or the assaulter.
Mm-hmm. And it's just, full circle. And then Preston's there and he's the one who's maybe feeling attacked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For sure.
Emotionally betrayed. Assaulted.
Mm-hmm.
Betrayed.
Probably horrified.
The ultimate betrayal. All this trust built on a foundation of sand.
Straight up.
Lies. Lies, lies, lies.
As I jaunt through the crowd to see Aphrodite perform, I trip over a sofa leg, and as I'm passing out, I see the club scene in which Jules grinds his ass off on a woman, and she is feeling every bit of it as he's staring in the soul of Preston.
Oh,
and then that leapfrogs immediately to going to his Jules' place for the first time and filming the most epic revenge sex scene ever.
Nice. Yes. So you guys did all have like the same thing. Me and Leah had different scenes. That's kind of the same scene.
Well, basically. Why don't you and Leah have a podcast, Mark?
Yeah, we'll call it having different takes.
Having different takes. Yeah. Different takes for different folks.
I was hoping that someone would shout out the bathhouse scene. I'll give that honorable mention.
Yeah, shout it out.
Yeah, that was funny.
The bathhouse scene is fantastic.
Yeah. That was so intense. Yeah. But no, I mean, you guys all like that scene because it is great.
It's amazing. I like more the end of that set piece.
Yeah, where it's you guys kind of like put it all together,
Where it's the club jerking off in, under the table forcefully into that's the sex crazy. Scene. Because it is kind of like the ultimate, it's Jules' revenge. It's like right there, you're seeing it happen. His control comes back. Perfect.
And the tension being flipped. Like that now the tension is... Preston's going to get outed. You know, it's not that Jules is going to get outed.
Yep.
Now you're scared Preston's going to get outed.
I mean, Jules kind of carries, and I mean, Preston steals, I guess. I mean, how else like could you break it down?
I don't think there's any other way.
Two-man show. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it was made like right now, but I guess if we were having someone else make it, who would we have, and like who else could match these performances? I honestly don't know if there's like beating this.
No.
Yeah. Well, I know who Anthony would pick for Jules.
Who would I pick?
Idris Elba.
Oh, I would like that.
He picks Idris Elba for everything.
I love Idris. Yeah.
He was great in Hobbs and Shaw.
I love Idris Elba.
We had an idea of if this movie was made in the past.
Okay.
Ooh, I like
it
that.
Would be in the 80s because AIDS crisis, right?
Magic Johnson.
So you got to play up like if this movie Magic Johnson. In New York in the 80s. So, yeah, American 80s.
Joe Pesci and Robert De Niro?
No, I think you got to get Pacino as George McKay.
Oh.
Because he can do both. He can be wild. Look at Scarface.
I mean,
and he can be
or cruising.
Or cruising, Or look at his. Yeah, he can be gay too. He can be gay.
He can be very Dog Day Afternoon.
Yeah, Dog Day Afternoon.
Multiple,
And as Jules, I'm not really sure. I was trying to think of like a good
Samuel Jackson just reprised Jules from
ooh,
the same character, the fro and everything.
Same character, yes,
yeah, the exactly. Yeah.
Let's get Nathan Lane.
Nathan
just
Lane,
put Nathan Lane in it.
Gives it credit twist.
Yeah,
Hank Azaria.
Anthony wanted the real side of the birdcage, and this is what he's getting.
Yeah, I had birdcage vibes in the very beginning during the drag.
Did it
drag? So just for a moment, I was like, "Ooh, this is like a modern birdcage."
Yeah, no, I thought of you. Moment. Yeah, I was like, "Oh, Anthony's gonna love this."
Yeah,
what he wanted.
I would just change a director. I'd do Gaspar. Is it Gaspar Noah? Or no?
Yeah, Gaspar Noé. Yeah.
Noé? Oh, yeah. Just, I would make it very...
Irreversible?
Very weird and...
Enter the Void.
Abstract and artistic, just like this movie is. But just make lean it. Into the abstract and creativity in the shots.
Oh, yeah. And you know, everything would
be nice.
Really visceral with him. It would have to be French, I guess.
Yeah.
It would be Chou Le Femme.
It'd be Le Femme for real.
French remake by Gaspar Noé. He'd probably do all unsimulated sex and make it in 3D. Like he did for that movie Love. He did that for a movie.
Really?
I didn't get a chance to see it in 3D, but apparently, like the jizz came right at you and stuff.
Nice.
Oh, wow, that sounds exciting.
That's right.
Yeah. It's called Love.
I like that movie.
I bet you'd like that.
I didn't see it in 3D, but I do like the movie. Yeah.
But I wish.
Well, do you want to hit any other segments? Is there? There's not like a worse scene for me.
I don't really think so either. Yeah, we were trying to bring a new segment in here. Worst scene, or like any scene that you could just kind of like do without, or like skip, or like
worst shot.
Yeah.
No, I felt like this was so everything was so necessary.
Yeah, I wouldn't really cut anything.
No.
I would. The only one thing. That I was just kind of like, it's just the whole thing with his roommate and like the roommate being mad at him. And then, I mean, it adds attention and it pays off. So you know.
I think maybe if anything, you just add like a blowjob scene and you make it so that he was actually drinking champagne at the dinner.
So says the guy named Champagne.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. That pissed me off. They should have definitely drank champagne at that dinner. They should have.
Yeah.
All right. Coming from a guy named Champagne.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I get that all the time.
We know you do, Champ.
Champ?
Champ. Yeah, no.
We know you do, Champ.
Just call him Champ.
Yeah, no.
All right, well.
Yeah.
We can get into the thumbs up, thumbs down.
Let's do it.
Well, you picked it.
Go on, then.
That's right. Both of us picked it, by the way.
All right, so then you both go first.
At the same time.
Which I don't know if this has been clearly stated. Leah is my significant other.
Ooh la la.
We do many
things together.
Yeah.
And we watch many movies together, but This one was, yeah, I mean, I've been wanting to get Leah on for a while. And when we decided to do Gay Month, I was like, it's a no-brainer.
That was perfect time.
Yeah. You instantly thought of your girlfriend.
Nothing gayer than bringing my girlfriend onto my movie podcast. No. Leah loves LGBTQIA cinema. And so I asked her, I was like, what should we do? You know, and she pretty much immediately was like, we should do femme. And I was like, oh, nice. Duh. Yeah, we should. And she's like, yeah, because it's new and it's crazy. I mean, we saw this here at the Kabuki and we were just like,
Kabuki.
Held our breath the whole time.
The end credits. It was finally like, oh.
It was like, yeah, I could only compare it to when I saw Uncut Gems in the movie theater. I think this movie and Uncut Gems both just made me like hold my breath for the entirety of the movie. And yeah, I mean, I don't know what else to say about it. It's just a powerhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And it's I think will be hopefully recognized as an incredible achievement. But it's such a, I feel like, under the radar movie right now. No one's really talking about it, but it's incredible.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Do you think it could get like Academy Award recognition this year? Did it come out this year?
I think technically it did come out this year. I think it got like distribution this year.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's
definitely know.
like if they're doing 10 nominees for Best Picture, this should be in there.
I really think so. I mean, at least for Best Foreign Film, if that counts. But it's definitely in my top movies of the year so far, mm-hmm. without a doubt.
It was very good.
It's just like, yeah, just one of the most, just such a surprising and just like, you know, gritty, you don't need much. All you need are incredible actors, yep. an incredible premise, a great eye, great locations. You know, it's just that type of stripped down cinema that you don't really see that often, that it's just so good. So exciting. Mm-hmm. But yeah, what'd you think?
Yeah, I mean, all of those things, definitely. I think what stood out the most for me with this is just the complicated nature of these people. I think sometimes movies can have the good guy and the bad guy, and it's very like straightforward and black and white. And this really, really blended the gray for the two of them. That as a viewer, it made you like feel for both of them, also kind of question both of them. And I just felt like from a psychological perspective, really explored like internalized homophobia and projections and trauma and, you know, gender. Like it just really touched on all of these very interesting topics that feel really very relevant in our world today, and just made it really accessible. As well as I think with LGBTQIA+ movies, you know, this was a very internal movie about these characters. It wasn't kind of the world's perspective or society's perspective on them. It was really just between these two people, which I feel like brings about kind of a different, I don't know, a different take on the LGBTQIA+ movie. It made it really grounded. It made it really personal. And I think the more personal, the more we can feel that versus having a kind of more broad view or societal lens going on with these characters. Very well done. I mean, tense the whole time. I mean, the tension was just up the whole time. Could not look away. Was like on the edge of my seat. What's going to happen next? You know, there's always this possibility of somebody getting the shit beaten out of them at any time, which definitely keeps you like interested. And just very interesting motivations for both the characters. And I just felt really drawn in. I felt a lot of things for both of them. And they just did a really good job at exploring that gray space. So definitely thumbs up over here.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, I really like had no expectations going into this. I left it that way. And so I was pleasantly surprised. Like, this is... Yeah, one of the best movies I've seen that have come out this year. I was like pretty blown away by this, to be honest. Like,
yes.
I was not expecting it to be this guy. I think George MacKay is like solidified as like one of the great actors of his generation with like this in 1917 already, and he's just getting started basically. So I'm really interested in seeing what he comes up with next. Nathan Stewart Jarrett also awesome in this. I thought the direction was great. Like, there was really like nothing to like look at negatively. Like, everything was done really well, I thought. The tension, the suspense, like, I was so, like, nervous for Jules so many times in this. Yeah. It was so, like, I usually don't feel that much for the characters. Like, they were really well, like, drawn out. And, yeah, I mean, unfortunately, after saying all that, I'll have to give this a thumbs up.
Oh.
What a twist from
got us again.
Classic champs champagne.
Over here. Yeah, classic champ.
Classic champ.
I thought, yeah, the, what's his name? George Mackey?
George
Preston?
McKay.
McKay?
George Mackey.
No, yeah, he was fucking awesome. Every time he was on the screen, loved it. Yeah, just strong performances all around. Always love a good repressed homosexuality tale.
100%.
And it, like, makes me kind of think is if it's, like, a normal thing in, like, homosexual relationships where you come across these guys that are just, like, because I feel it, like, the way he took it, it, like, it almost, like, he's just accepted it, where he's just like, you know, sometimes you get these kind of guys that are they act straight but they're really not.
Yeah, like, doesn't
a
the
lot
roommate-
of violence and hostility. Yeah, even the yeah, they talk about that.
But, like, we don't date straight people because they hate themselves or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, even in the subtitles, straight was in quotations, and I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, this was great. It was tense. And like Josh usually says, it's a lean movie, you know? Hour and a half, bing, bang, boom. It yes. just flows through. Everything's needed. It was great. Yeah, great watch. And that way... I will say, thumb way up my ass.
Oh,
boom!
Yeah.
So far,
oh,
so appropriate.
Thumbs up.
Very appropriate for this.
Let's go.
Doesn't it make you like yearn for more 90-minute movies? Like in a world where everything is fucking
oh, I love
3 hours.
I was thinking about it before I watched
yeah.
it. I was like,
seeing
they
a 90-minute.
But the last movie we did was also 90 minutes.
Yes.
I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like before I watched the movie, I saw the runtime,
yeah.
and I felt relief and happy.
Relieved, yeah.
Because it is
happy.
Great when
yeah.
a movie is like, yes. when you see like an hour and 38 minutes, an hour and 39 yeah. minutes, you're like, please.
Yes.
Please.
Yes.
It's like, even if this movie sucks, at least it was only an hour and a half.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
But even like, it's so often that movies just outstay their welcome just
mm-hmm.
a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like, yeah, it's
yeah.
cool.
You can always cut
drags.
10 minutes out of a movie.
Yeah. yeah. Well, and less is more, I think, with Femme. Like, it could have added 30 more minutes on giving yeah. us background about Preston or something, but we didn't need
no.
any of that.
Could have given yeah. us a 30-minute blowjob scene. Who knows, you know?
Oh, for
yeah.
sure.
Long legs, too. Less is more, I think.
Long legs. Pretty slow compared to this.
So what yeah, stood out I mean, to me in this movie was the edit specifically yeah. and George McKay's range. So Ooh. For that alone, thumbs up.
Short and sweet, just like Anthony.
Short.
Hey, I'm almost 5 foot.
Champ.
I'm almost 5 feet tall.
That's true. You've been shrinking.
Yeah.
That's true. So you're 5'1", but you're almost 5 feet.
No, I'm 4. Serum. Actually, last time we checked, I'm 4'11 and a half.
Okay.
But you have to say the half. Don't say I'm 4'11.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. Right. That's right. Anthony's always counted the halves.
Like an asshole.
Short
what
asshole.
An ass. Coming from Daniel, who's 7'5".
And a half.
I'm 9 foot tall too.
No, you're not, Champagne.
Yeah.
You're average height.
Pop, pop. Come on, Champ.
Come on, Champ.
Champ.
Sun begins to rise on your face again. Sunrise sheds light on imperfect skin. With our perfectly imperfect love, I wouldn't have it any other way.
I wouldn't have it any other way. Oh, baby, please let this love stay the same, yeah, yeah.
But I'm hoping that our love won't change.
It won't ever. never change.
You're not holding me back.
You're never holding me back.
You're not holding me back.
You'll never hold me back.
With our perfectly,
it's so perfect.
With our perfectly imperfect love.
So I've never seen this movie.
Oh.
And I've heard it referenced many times.
Okay. Yeah, right.
But I know nothing about it. And it has a very prominent actor in it. Uh-oh, one of his earlier performances.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not an hour and a half, though. It's longer than that. And it is called Call Me By Your Name.
Yeah.
Oh!
Nice, let's go. Yeah. I haven't seen this yet, but I own it on 4K.
Yes. Never seen it. Oh. You all
are we gonna get another special performance? A guest appearance?
Oh.
No. Not for this one, no.
All right, Mark. Shut that shit down. Unless Rita
wants to come again. Do you want to come on again?
Not again. No.
That's what he was asking.
Because we had talked about Sam coming on for an episode too.
Oh, okay. I'm pretty sure Anthony was asking Leah if she wanted to come back.
Yeah, exactly. And
Mark just went, no.
No.
Absolutely not.
Mark.
No. I got to shut that down real quick.
So, yeah, absolutely not.
Nope.
This is one time and one time only.
Is it
don't
good?
Don't even want to entertain it.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
It's most good? Definitely. Okay.
Leah showed that to me.
I did. Yeah. Pretty early on in our relationship.
Pretty early on.
I was like, you got to see this.
Yeah. Well,
damn
first
it.
It was Portrait of a Lady on Fire.
Yeah, that was the first one. Also, LGBTQIA.
I haven't seen that one either.
That's great.
Excellent.
Too.
Excellent. Yeah.
Call Me By Your Name is fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so, thank you for joining us, Leah. You're welcome back anytime.
Thank
you. You're awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, this is for great. Sure. Thanks for having me on. I'm happy to talk about movies anytime.
Yeah. Yeah. Femme was a great one. So
sweep it.
Sweep
it.
The booms.
Bum, 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 bum.